We are live.
Yes.
And
guess where we are?
Well, as you can see, we are together.
Yay.
Summer's visiting for 5 days, 6 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From San Francisco. So now I'm in LA, Pasadena with Crystal.
Yeah.
We're recording our first in-person episode.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted to do like a fun Q&A thing, I guess. So we posted on our story today asking if you have any questions, and we have two questions.
We have two questions. Yes, icebreaker questions.
Yes. And then we have a fun like Q&A game that we're gonna play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got this game. It's called the therapy game, from a shop called The Therapy, interestingly. Anyways, so this card games, it has five different type of questions, including work, relationship, sex, self, and anxiety. And we picked out some questions from that deck of cards, and we're going to talk about those questions in this episode.
Yes. Well, maybe we can, like, first of all, recap, because it's been 2 months. Oh, no. It's been 2 weeks since our last episode.
Yeah.
So maybe we can recap some things that have happened in the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So how have you been, Crystal?
I've been good. We've been socializing a lot this past weekend. And even last weekend, like, I was socializing a lot, too. So I'm kind of tired. But, like, it's not a bad kind of tired. It's, like, a good kind of tired. And it's just work,
again,
like, as usual. Yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
So, for me, I don't even remember what I did, like, before coming to LA. I guess, just like, working. Mostly, yes. Like, mostly just working. And, oh, I actually watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, and if y'all haven't watched it yet, you should go watch it. It's really, really good. It's really chaotic, but then at the same time, it's funny. It's touching. It talks about family. And I always just, like, started, like, tearing up whenever, like, movies talk about family. So it's a really, like, touching and also funny movie. Y'all should go watch it. And, yeah, and then I just came to LA. Today we went to Rose Bowl. We went to the flea market, and it was, oh my gosh, it's like shopping in Mong Kok in Hong Kong.
Except things are more expensive here.
Yeah, it's more expensive, and I feel like it's so big though. Like, the entire venue is super big. We couldn't finish it.
Yeah, it's funny because we're looking at the earrings, and then the people were like, because usually, you know how like bad quality jewelry, they like just get green, and then they like, they're not good, they're not long lasting, and then all these people obviously were gonna sell their jewelry, like, oh, it's 14, it's whatever,
14k gold pleated or plated, whatever.
And then it's just funny because I was like, there's no way they're just selling it. And then we were looking at some of them, and it's like, it's cheap material, it looks
like you can feel it. But I did got a bracelet. It's like a little heart chain bracelet. It's very dainty. I really like it. Also got some clothes.
Yeah, I got some earrings.
Mm-hmm. They look,
it's
really
cute. I like it. It's like thicker.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then we went to get fluffy like souffle pancakes.
It's so good. Oh my gosh.
It's
very fluffy and soft, and like we got the mango flavor, and I think it's the perfect match.
Yeah, it was good at Moto Tea House.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Thai food for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We watched The Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're here
recording.
Oh, also happy Mother's Day. Today
is
Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
Oh, and congrats to anyone who just graduated class of 2022.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
Wild. But yeah, so we have our two questions from Instagram.
Yes. So our first question is, what is your favorite Marvel movie and why?
Yeah.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. So my favorite Marvel movie is Black Panther. I think Black Panther is first, and then Shang-Chi is like a really, really close second.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like Black Panther because of the message like, okay, of the villain, Killmonger is a really good villain, but the cause that he was fighting for, like, was very relatable in real life, but also it just makes sense. Like, you were so sympathetic to the villain, and then I was like, yeah, like, the previous king of Wakanda was kind of an asshole for, like, leaving his niece out in the world to fend for himself when he knows that America, like, is not the kindest to, like, people of color, and Wakanda has all these resources that they're just hoarding. And I like the message at the end where, like, Black Panther, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman, but also when he, like, brought out the resources to the world to help, like, his own community. I thought that was very beautiful. And then Shang-Chi, obviously, was really good. But I just think, like, Killmonger as a villain is better than Tony Leung's character, even though his villain was still very good. Yeah. That's my favorite Marvel movie.
Yeah. So, my favorite Marvel movie, surprise, surprise, is actually Shang-Chi. So, I really liked the movie because I felt like it's very relatable. I like the parts where it really focuses on the family and how it impacted Shang-Chi's growth and his journey of becoming a hero. And also just really like, I think the whole story is very down to earth, like in a way that, you know, like in the past, a lot of Marvel movies are like, oh, they're all out in the space fighting. But then for Shang-Chi, it's very down to earth in a way that they filmed everything, not everything, but like a lot of places in like San Francisco. You can see Chinatown. And I think the fight scenes were also really cool, especially in the tunnel scene. If you have been to San Francisco, like the tunnel between Chinatown and downtown, and I just thought that like the moment when they're fighting in the bus was so cool. And the music, I love the music.
I remember when the movie came out, you were saying how like the route that they have of China or of San Francisco is actually wrong. Because it doesn't actually, it actually doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Do you have a favorite Marvel show? I feel like we should talk about, because there's so many shows that have come out now.
That's a good question. Do you have one?
Some
time to think about it.
Yeah, I think mine is WandaVision for like the production of it. I really liked it. Also Jimmy Woo, shout out to Jimmy Woo. But then also I think I really liked Hawkeye. I don't like Hawkeye as a character, but I just felt like the plot was very easy to follow. And also I watched Daredevil, like the original like Netflix series of Daredevil, and I'm very invested in Wilson Fisk's story, and like he appears in Hawkeye, so I was like, that's so cool. And then I just feel like Marvel is getting harder and harder to follow. Like, it's getting so confusing, and I'm just like, even WandaVision, like, that was so hard to follow, but I was like, it's just very cool artistic design and storytelling, so I liked it a lot. But yeah, I guess WandaVision. I liked Moon Knight, too, actually, a lot. Maybe my second is Moon Knight, and then it's Hawkeye.
Well, for me, I think my favorite would be, that's a hard one. My favorite would be Loki, because I was just telling Crystal about this today. I think it was really interesting how Loki basically fell in love with himself, but I thought it makes so much sense, and I think it's like a little like dark but then also realistic, and coming out from Disney, I thought it was very surprising. And then I also really like What If. I really like the concept of it, of like reimagining how the Marvel characters can be like and how it opens up. I think it like is a really good introduction into the multiverse of Marvel. But I think you're right, like Marvel is getting harder and harder to follow, because if you didn't watch all the movies previously, it's like really hard for people, new people, to get into Marvel's now.
Yeah, even the shows. What If, I remember my favorite episode is when Killmonger, or no, when Black Panther is Star-Lord, like that episode. I really like that episode, but I don't remember. Oh, I remember them becoming zombies in one episode.
I remember Doctor Strange. Like, there's a dark Doctor Strange.
And then Ant-Man's, is it like a head, right? Didn't he was in a jar? Was that Ant-Man?
I don't remember.
Oh, wait, no, that's not. Who was in the jar? Was it Vision? Or was it Doctor Strange?
Maybe, I think it was maybe Doctor Strange.
Okay, because it flew. I guess it was Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The shows are something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was our response to our first questions. And then we have our second question. What is your favorite kitchen utensil? I have my answer, okay, I think.
What's your answer?
I like a spork because it has is multifunctional.
Mm.
And I like multifunctional stuff because it's helped me save space. I don't know.
What is mine? I like a potato peeler. Oh, ooh. I like a garlic crusher.
Oh.
Because I love garlic. Oh. And it's so satisfying.
Oh,
that's a garlic good crusher.
Mm.
Potato peeler is also really satisfying.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thanks for those questions.
Thank you for the questions. And now we're going to get into like deeper questions.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with asking questions about work. And then into a relationship. And then we have a question about sex.
We have one question.
Sex. And then anxiety. And then the self. Cool.
Okay. So the first question in the work category. We tried to choose two questions like per category. Mm-hmm. Other than sex as a sex category was like very personal.
Yeah. So I only picked one question.
Yeah. Okay. So for the first question for work is what remains to be achieved?
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, that changed the mood from the favorite utensil.
Gotta get my adult voice with this question. What remains to be achieved? Like, honestly, so much. Like, we're still so young and just started our career. And if y'all don't know already, I'm a junior UX designer at a startup. And honestly, I still have so much to learn. And to keep it short, I think like in the short term, my goal is to, I'm taking a UX course and then hopefully getting promoted to be a mid-level UX designer and then senior level. And then in the future, I think me and my friends were just talking about this. I want to have my own like, either an agency or like my own company. So that would be my long-term goal.
Ooh, what company?
I don't know
yet. Marketing?
Maybe like a design agency.
Ooh.
Like either a design agency where we just do client work, or maybe I'll be creating a product, who knows.
Yeah. You're an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. So I want to like create something of my own in the future. So that is my long-term goals. And another thing that I want to do is to be able to mentor people, like either providing mentorship to other designers or, I don't know, like going back to school, being what do you call those professor? Like adjunct professor? Oh, like just like very part-time, like giving classes. And so I think that would be really cool. I just want to give back. And be able to like provide support.
School teacher.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, that's what I was thinking. There was this professor. I think she does so much for like the Asian community in the advertising world. She started like a LinkedIn group, and then she's also teaching LMU. She's a creative director, Bernice Chow.
Oh, she sounds familiar.
Yeah, I really looked up to her. So I think that it will be something that I want to do in the future as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good goal or a good like, well, I don't want to say dream because dream means like it's not unattainable. It's like a good aspiration.
Yes, yeah. Aspiration.
Aspiration. Yeah. I feel like because for my job right now, I do maybe like 60% admin stuff and then 40% like event planning and like programming. So I want to move fully into programming because like I don't want to do the admin stuff. Well, okay, I think I'm learning a lot from the admin stuff, to be honest, like just basic things. I'm learning a lot how to talk professionally with like board members and like people with inquiries and stuff. But I think that I would like to move fully to programming in my next job because that is what I really enjoy doing. And then I think in the future, I would like to. Okay, well, I used to want to start my own nonprofit or like do something like within my community. I don't know what specifically, but I thought about like in Hong Kong, like making like a food, like a f food carnival thing, but then you would employ like maybe people who are homeless or like people who like, because there's so many homeless people in Hong Kong, and then some sort of self, like, not self-fulfilling, but like sustainable business where you're able to like help a certain population or like uplift a certain population, but it can, but that population can also sustain the company kind of thing. I don't know. My mom have, and I have talked about it before, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. And then I don't know if we were joking or like if this is half serious, but my friends and I have said that we wanted to do like a nonprofit consulting agency because there's so many nonprofits that are dying. Like there are so many nonprofits out there and we don't need more because there's basically one for anything, you know, you're thinking about. But then a lot of them are dying and they don't have the resources or like the knowledge to like run it. And so that is something that would be very interesting. Because I don't think, I well, I'm sure there's like consulting, like nonprofit agencies out there, but I haven't seen one in my 24 years of life. So that'd be cool, but we'll see. I think starting a business with friends is kind of risky.
That's true. Yeah, I
Like, you
think
don't.
you need to really learn their work habits first.
But maybe someday that will be, yeah. But I do want to move on to fully like event planning stuff and probably hopefully still in the nonprofit field.
Oh my gosh, I was just thinking about this when you're talking about it. Maybe like if you do start your nonprofit, like our agencies can collaborate. I can help the nonprofits that you consult to do their marketing or like design stuff, you know, do their website design.
Yeah, because we were saying that like Dion would do like the accounting stuff,
Oh,
and then
yes.
Laurel would do like the psychology side of things, I guess. Like, with, there can be like a clinic associated with it. Because I know there's a lot of nonprofits who like provide like clinical services or like psychology services, therapy services to like people who are struggling or like in certain situations. I'm like, yeah, that could be cool if like there was a consulting agency and then the clients that we have, like if they needed any therapy services, like our agency could provide that rather than like, yeah, I don't
Having to
know.
outsource another person again.
Oh, but yeah, you can do the marketing.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, someday. Someday when we get our lives situated. This is the probably like a very like
Long,
long,
long
yeah,
term. I'm
very long
thinking of
term.
like 7 to 8 years, like
Probably,
my
yeah.
early 30s probably.
We'll see where we are by then.
I don't know if I'm gonna have kids, so maybe I'm like later in life. Cool. All
Cool.
right. Second question. If you were feeling deeply sympathetic, what would you tell yourself about your working life so far?
So basically, like, was this like advice that we'd give ourselves, right? Or like, how would we comfort ourselves?
Yeah, I think like both. Just what would you say to yourself? Like whatever you want to say, either it's advice or something comforting or something to push yourself to move forward. I don't know.
Do
What
you
do you
know?
think? I think I kind of have an idea. If I were to be more sympathetic to myself, I think I need to not push myself too hard because I think like Crystal is nodding really hard. Like anyone who I've talked to like recently knows that like I do put a lot of time in my work, like not only at work but also outside of work. I also study a lot, so I don't get a lot of time for myself or like sometimes my relationship. So I think something that I really need to like tell myself and like make myself realize is I'm exactly where I'm meant to be. I think that even though maybe like it's difficult to not compare myself to other peers and how they're doing in terms of their career, but I think I need to be kinder to myself and saying that like everything that I'm going through right now has a lesson in it. It's a learning experience. I'm building up to becoming a better person in the future in order to achieve my aspiration. So these are like the necessary steps that I have to take in order to get there. So I don't have to like constantly compare myself or push myself too hard and burn myself out.
Yeah, I think mine would be just to be more intentional at work. Like, I know in college we stressed about being intentional so much, but I think, well, in personal life, sometimes I am intentional, but like at work, I feel like I'm definitely not. Mm-hmm. And I think that it would help me learn a lot more at work if I was more intentional with the stuff that I was doing, especially when it's like admin work and stuff. Like, you get so drained by it that you're not really absorbing in what you're doing. You're just kind of like routinely doing things. So I think I would want to tell myself to just think more about the task that I'm doing and see what I can learn from it rather than just like doing it. And it's hard with very routinal things. But I do think that with like event planning and stuff too, like I do want to be more intentional in that, because it's easy for me to like make it in accordance to like what I want or like what I think that they would want, but not really taking into account like whether it would be something that would be the most efficient or like something that would be the most cost effective, I guess. Like, I feel like I still don't really have experience in that side of the logistics yet.
Do you have someone to guide you?
Okay. Yeah. And everything I do is checked by them. So.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. More intentional.
Good answers. All right. So now we're moving on to the next category, relationships. What did you learn about relationships from your parents? This is a really good question. Yeah. I really have to think about this, to be honest.
I think my parents' relationship is a very lifelong bond, even if they're not like necessarily very affectionate with each other all the time. And I think they've overcome a lot together. Like, I think when you look at couples who've been together for so long, it's like, damn, like that's a different type of like love there. And this can be like in general, right? In general relationships, it doesn't have to be like romantic relationships. I think my parents are very generous and kind. Like, they always lend a helping hand to anyone. And even as a kid, when we would see like people who are homeless in Hong Kong, like they would always give me money and they're like, okay, go give it to them. So I think that was a big thing that I learned. And I think sometimes because they were so generous and so kind to everyone, I developed that part of my personality where I get like, I become a pushover. Like, people, like, I allow people to like take advantage of me because I see my parents being so kind to everyone. But I think I take that to an extreme sometimes. Like, I don't know how to set boundaries, I think, because of that. And I don't know how to, oh, I'm learning. Like, I think it's gotten better. And I think from my dad, I guess, I found out recently that he's very realistic in terms of relationships. Like, he's, especially with like acquaintances and stuff, like, or business people, like, he's learned how to keep a positive relationship or like the importance of maintaining a relationship even if you don't necessarily like want to, like, being civil with everyone. And like, you never know if in the future like you reconnect, or you never know in the future if you'll need help from each other, like stuff like that. Like, he's very good at the managing relationships that are unnecessary in your life, I guess. Like, I feel like other than family and like close friends, like the other relationships in your life, like, I don't know how to manage sometimes, because I'm like, why do I need those? Like, I just really care about, like, you know, people who know who I am. But he's really good at that. I think it's the business side of him. Yeah. And my mom's just like very nice to everyone. And she's always like, if someone angers you, like, just leave it be kind of person. And I'm not. Like, if someone like angers me, especially when I'm driving, I get very mad.
Yeah.
And I like to go faster than them if they do that to me.
Bristol is a very, it's a reckless driver. No, you just zoom, zoom.
I just zoom, zoom through the cars.
Safe. You're safe.
Because they're so slow. If you're slow, why are you on the left lane? Like,
I know. Okay. I think for me, like, this is really hard because I guess, like, I haven't really thought about how my parents' relationship is. But the first thing that came to my mind is very similar to yours, actually, is the companionship. I think they have been through a lot together, and sometimes I feel like I'm not seeing the whole pictures of things, of the hardships that they're going through.
Or even
because
when they were dating. Like,
you Because, like, my parents, I think they shelter me a lot from, like, not having to deal with the difficult situations in a family. But I do remember, now thinking back, like, seeing how, for example, like, my mom supported my dad when my grandma passed away. And now, like, there are more stuff happening with my mom's side of the family. My dad also does a lot for my mom's family. Like, whenever my grandma here in the U.S. needs someone to, like, drive her, like, my grandma will actually call my dad instead of, like, my mom, like, for help. So I think, like, and my dad never says no. So I think seeing how they treat each other and also their family has affected how I also, when I'm in a relationship, I want to, like, not only treat my partner well, but also their friends and family.
Yeah.
Well, but another, I guess, like, a more negative thing that I learned from my parents about relationship is they always give me, especially my mom, she always give me, like, very interesting advice of, like, oh, don't easily trust the other person, like, protect your feelings and don't get hurt, that kind of stuff. And I think that growing up, hearing those advice make me more, what's the word, like, I'm more cautious. Yeah, I'm more cautious in a relationship and more, I guess, avoidant in terms of, like, opening up and being more vulnerable. And I think that because growing up, I also didn't see, like, much of how my parents, like, show vulnerability with each other or being, like, emotional with each other. So then now, like, when I'm in a relationship as an adult, I also feel like I don't know how to show the emotional side of me other than, like, roasting is the love language in my family. So then I feel like that became my love language too.
Yeah, even just now, this morning, we were talking about how we're talking about attachment styles.
Yeah.
And we were saying how we, like, I think it's the Asian parenting where it's like, oh, you can't cry.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember, like, if it was something that I was sad about just in general, like, I would just cry in my room. And then when I would see my parents, it would just, I would, like, flip 180 degrees. Like, I would just be 100% normal. That's kind of creepy that I was able to do that. But that, I think that definitely bleeds into how we act, like, when it comes to, even with friends, too.
Yeah, I still feel uncomfortable crying in front of friends, or even when, like, we're watching movies, like, if there are other people around me, I'll feel more, like, reluctant to, like, really cry and express my emotions.
Yeah. Like, I think we've learned to hide it really well. But I think now I cry a lot.
That's good.
So I think it's the Pisces in me. I cry a lot, like, in front of other people now. But I used to not be able to.
Yeah.
Okay. Our next relationship question is, what weakness of yours do you want to find compensation for in a partner? Very interesting, like, wording.
Sorry, I'm just, like, thinking. I feel like I have a lot of weaknesses, but I don't know, like, how to compensate.
What weaknesses of yours do you want to find compensation for? Oh, I think this means like, what weaknesses of yours do you want to find in your partner that they don't have? Like you want, what things you want to find in your partner that are your weaknesses, but they don't have?
But they don't have,
Yeah.
or
So they don't
they.
have these weaknesses, but you have them. That's why you're finding someone to compensate for what you don't have.
My brain.
This is a very weird, like complicated, weirdly weird worded question.
You have an answer?
Yeah, I think that I want to find a partner who compensates me for my lack of patience. Like, I feel like with friends, I can be really patient, but when it comes to people I'm really, really comfortable with, like my mom or like my partner, like I can be very impatient. Or like I'll get frustrated easily, like 허이 저우다이. Because I'm so comfortable with them, I feel like I can show my true self. And so I feel like if my partner wasn't patient as if my partner was also impatient, then we'd be always arguing. Let me think of any other weaknesses. And I'll do things really fast also. Like I'm very like once I start doing stuff, I just get overwhelmed by like the list of things I have to do. I just want to get them done quickly. And regardless if I'm like careless about it, if I like type something wrong, I just want to get it done. Like I
We'll get
think,
it over with.
yeah, some of that bleeds into work, and I think it's been better at work. Like I've slowed myself down, but I think I want a partner who is a slower pace, has a slower pace in life so that they can help me slow down. Because I don't like to be fast paced all the time. Like I get stressed. I think also living in Hong Kong, like growing up in Hong Kong,
It's
has made
very
me
good.
very fast paced. But yeah.
Okay, those are really good answers. I feel like I have kind of similar. I agree on being patient, but I think like I think I'm like a more not because I would want someone who's patient, not because I'm impatient. It's because I think I'm a really slow person in terms of like emotions and like opening up and being comfortable with the other person. So it really takes time for me to like, I guess, to develop feelings for another person. And I don't want to feel rushed to do that. So I think I need someone who can just like be able to accept like where I'm at in the relationship and not feel rushed to the next chapter. And I also need someone. So I think a weakness that I have is sometimes I can get very like self-critical and like harsh on myself or like low self-esteem, I think. And I feel like I want someone who has a calmer and like confident demeanor who can help me to reassure me of like my worth and also just like be calm and not be so stressed and like anxious all the time. Yeah, because when I'm like harsh on myself and like start judging myself, I get like really anxious, I think. Oh, spicy.
The one question.
Shush. But I feel like yesterday, it's like yesterday, whenever we're just talking about
Oh
poop and
yeah.
like pee.
Yesterday we were talking about like kids having pee buddies
Yeah.
to learn how to pee into the toilet. And then our friend Christian was saying, can we say this? It's kind of confidential. Whatever. Our friend was saying that a toilet fell onto a child. And then we're talking about like
We're
Amber
talking,
Heard pooping on Johnny King's
yeah,
bed.
and then we're talking about soaking, all of that stuff. We're just like a bunch of like elementary school kids who gets like really excited about like poop and peeps and sex and like boobs and whatever.
Yeah, our age range is 23 to 27.
Yeah, sorry. It's the inner child. We're
I
releasing
know,
our inner child, you know?
yeah.
Anyways, going back to the Shrek,
Yes.
what would you want to tell the adolescent you about sex?
I think I was raised very religious, but also like nobody I knew actually had any experience with sex. So I think I would just tell myself it's not that big of a deal. Like, I know it's a big deal to a lot of people, like a lot of people who are religious, a lot of people who are choosing, you know, like just to save sex for like that one person. But I think for me, like if I could tell myself, I would just say that it's not that big of a deal. Also, like, I feel like a lot of the pressure ingrained in me is hard to get out of my head, like even now.
What kind of pressure?
Like pressure, like not to have sex. And to me, it's still like a big deal. So, I mean, it's a hard question because it's like you can't go back and you can't like change that mindset.
And I think that it's just really hard because that is the way that you were taught growing up. And there's a saying that says, though, neurons that fire together wire together. So, like, that's
Neurons?
neurons, like your brain neurons. Like, that means, like, since you're really young, that's how your brain has been wired. And it's really hard to, like, unlearn what you've learned since a really young age.
Yeah. I just want to tell myself it's not a big deal and just, you know, watch some porn. Watch some porn.
Yes.
Like the child typed in his computer.
Pork. I think, honestly, I would say exactly the same thing. Like, it's not a big deal. And
But like
also,
respectfully to people who think it's imp like, you know, like they don't they want to save.
I think, like, I would say it's not a big deal in terms of be respectful and like don't judge people who have gone further in terms of their sexual life. Because I feel like when I was younger, I was like very judgmental about like guys watching porn or like, you know, guys, they're always just like, I don't know, sometimes they'll make like sexual jokes. And I feel like I hope that all the adolescent can like just chill and like it's not like sex is not that big of a thing and don't have to be so weird out by it. I think it needs to be normalized more and like talked about more so that it's not like always a myth.
I want to correct. I think I want to clarify what I said because I think it should be a big deal in terms of like who you choose to have sex with, you know what I mean? Like granted it be like a one night stand or if it's like with a partner, like it should be a person that you trust and that, you know, they're giving you consent or they're letting like their consent is necessary and that it is safe. But then I think the act of doing it shouldn't be such a big deal. Like the way we talk about it shouldn't be like, oh, you're d flowering or like you're dirty. Like the choosing the person to do it with is important, but then the physical act of doing it, I think, shouldn't be glorified or like tabooed. And it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be set expectations that people have when it comes to sex, like how it will feel or like, oh, it hurts. You know, like all that stuff that people say before. And then on the flip side, people are like, people expect to love sex right away and stuff. But then some people are like, oh, you like it's gonna be bad and stuff. Yeah. I feel like that doesn't give the person a chance to just like explore it on their own.
I think that's really true. Like what you said about not seeing sex act as gross, I think that's really important because I felt like I had that preconception about sex before actually getting into like any type of sexual relationship, and it kind of feel like ashamed or like you don't know if you're like doing the right thing and just feel very I don't know, feel very like embarrassed or like timid in like exploring anything that is related to sex. So I will tell myself to just it's not that big of a deal and it's not gross and you're free to explore your own sexual interest and that, like what you like in sex.
But also like regardless of if you choose to have sex or not. Like,
mm-hmm. Don't feel pressured.
Yeah, yeah. Do it on your own trajectory. Because I feel like when we say, like, it's not a big deal, I feel like that can be misleading.
Yeah, that's true.
But we would tell ourselves that it's not a big deal mm-hmm. at this point in our life. Mm-hmm. But, like, sex is an important thing, too, you know? Like, I don't want to deep downplay that it is important to do it safely and with the right person.
Yeah.
Ooh. Bisex question.
Wow, even more intense.
Ooh, okay, we're going into anxiety. The next question. If you couldn't fail, how would you want to change things? I want to move to different places and live in different places. Yeah. I feel like I've said that since I went abroad, that, like, I feel you can't really experience the place until you live there for, like, at least a few months. But it's just hard. Like, in life, it's just hard to do that, you know? Unless you're, like, a travel blogger or you're, like, an influencer, I feel like it's really hard if you're, like, working 9 to 5. That's the easy answer for me.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. I think for me, the first step would be I want to move out to a new city. Don't get me wrong, I love living with my parents. They take care of me very well. But I do want to experience the freedom I have as an individual adult being moved out. Yeah, so if I couldn't fail and financially capable, then the first thing I would do is to move out. Okay. Second question. What is the world far too judgmental about? Draw the discussion back to yourself too.
Everything. The world is far too judgmental about everything. I don't know why the first thought that came to mind was celebrities. But I feel like we literally just talked about it yesterday with Amber Heard. Like, we were gossiping about Amber Heard's.
Well, but then that was kind of ridiculous.
I know. We were just talking about poop, to be fair. I'm trying to think of one thing that people are too judgmental about.
I think, I feel like I have an answer. I think the world is far too judgmental about personalities. I feel like the world has, like, our society has a certain set of personalities that we favored, like being extroverted, outgoing, talkative, or willing to take risk. What else?
Like the personalities people favor?
Yeah, that people favor. Yeah.
Shy.
Yeah, not shy.
Like confident.
Yeah. I think that I hope that the world can be more accepting of people who are not, who does not fit into those personality and still appreciate other types of personality that brings value to the table. Because, okay, this question asks us to draw it back to myself. So I think that a lot of times, especially in the workplace, I feel like as a person, I'm not a very outspoken or like very good at expressing myself verbally type of person. So I get really shy at work. And at times, it can feel like my voice is not being heard. But then at the same time, I'm not stepping into the conversation. But I just need more time to, like, process everything. So I would hope that, like, there are more opportunities for people who are more shy or, like, less talkative, and give them the space to voice their needs. Yeah,
I agree. As an introvert, yeah, the world is very built for extroverted people.
Yeah,
I think on percentage wise, people who are more outspoken, more extroverted, like, have more opportunities. I don't know, I feel like everything, all the issues that we have in the world are caused by people's judgments. Like, even social issues are caused by people's judgments.
Yeah, true. That's so true.
And I think that people who are more sheltered and who are able to be grown up in a more privileged position need to chill. Just like in terms, I feel like because there's no understanding or like communication between the people who are sheltered and the people who, you know, live a different lifestyle from them, like, there's a lot of judgments that turn into like hate. So... and even just, like, a lot of policies are based on judgment. and like how you were raised.
I feel like a lot of them, yeah, it goes back to like a lack of communication and understanding.
Or like not wanting to understand.
Yeah, because like a lot of times we only live in our own bubble and don't go out of it. And we only form our perception about people outside of our bubble based on like media, and a lot of time media also reinforces stereotypes. And if until we can try to break out of bubble and make personal connection with those people, I feel like it's difficult. It can easily turn into hate or misunderstanding.
I think though the most judgmental thing that people do talk about most is just like how people look. Like that's an easy thing that you hear every day, especially on like social media and TikTok and Instagram. Okay, so draw the discussion back to yourself. With people's appearances being judged, I guess. I think it goes back to our topic on gossip culture. Like, I just feel guilty about falling into that trap of judging other people, or even like judging myself. I feel like I judged myself a lot growing up, and I was very hard on my physical appearance. Even now, like last week or a few weeks ago, I was obsessing about, I even asked Summer, I was like, look, are my calves different sizes? And I was obsessing about like the size of my calves. Like, it's just so ingrained in me. So I think I'm very judgmental about myself. And even like with like my earrings, like I get so self-conscious like that my hole is gonna stretch even though it's not going to stretch. And like I'm I don't know.
The new earrings.
But I just obsess over like tiny little things like that. Like, it's so dumb. And even now, like when if I don't work out, like I have the urge to work out, but like not a good urge. It's like an obsessive urge. Like if I eat too much and stuff. So that's a work in progress. But also like with other people too, I think I sometimes catch myself like not judging, but in my head I would talk to myself and I would like comment, but then I would catch myself and be like, why would I even say that, you know? Like, it's just so, like, you've done that for so many years, or it's like the easiest thing that you can say about someone. But usually it would be with people I don't know. Like, I don't have, like, if there's someone I can communicate with and I get to know them, like, like judging their physical appearance or commenting on their physical appearance in my head never comes up. It's just like people I see in passing that I don't really know, and then it just comes up in my brain.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, we're exposing a lot about ourselves tonight.
Yes. All right, so we're moving on to our last category, the self. Yeah, I like these two questions. They're wholesome.
Yeah, good end.
Yeah. What would you like more regularly to be appreciated for? Yeah, I can start first. I just want to be appreciated for, I don't know, my assistance? Existence, yeah. I think it will mean a lot to know that, like, just my pure existence in this world, like, in other people's presence can bring joy or maybe a sense of calm or excitement to others people's life. Yeah, I'll be happy and enough with that.
Wholesome. I don't know, this question is weird to me because I don't like people appreciating me.
I don't like being affirmed.
Oh, I hate being affirmed. If you write it to me, that's fine, just don't say it to me.
I love you, Crystal. I appreciate you.
Look, that's weird. I appreciate you too. But like, I was very good at it in college because we affirmed everyone so much. Yeah. And then now I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been a while.
We need to do weekly affirmation in this podcast. Instead of check-ins, we'll do affirmation.
Oh, that's so wholesome. But I think I like doing a lot of acts of service for people. Like, I like buying things for people, but like things that are like meaningful or like doing things for people or like going out of my way to like, I don't know, when I see something that I think they would like and stuff. So maybe, I don't know, but I don't want to be appreciated for that though.
Why not?
Because like, it's weird. Also, I
It's
feel like
so
they would do the
weird.
same for me.
Yeah, then you can also appreciate them for it, right?
Yeah.
So you can be appreciated for it too. Yeah.
I don't know. I think people that I surround myself with are very appreciative. And like, I think we show that through quality time and just like inviting each other to certain things, to join certain things. So I think maybe remembering, like being inclusive maybe is my making me feel regularly appreciated for. Like I know that I'm important to you, that you think about to invite me, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Our last question. Also, my phone's at 10%.
Okay. What kinds of mature qualities do you particularly admire in other people?
A lot.
A lot.
I think I admire people who are very confident and like can make small talk. I was telling somewhere that like in my office, I feel like, oh, I wasn't telling you maybe, but in my office, like I have a coworker who's very, very conversational and she like is able to hold conversations really well with people, even if it's small talk. I feel like for me, if you want to hold a small talk conversation with me, I'll just go dead. Like I'll answer your question and then I wouldn't know what to ask you because I don't have small talk questions. Like I don't know what small talk questions are. But she's just very, very good at that. She's very good at holding conversations and making you feel like you're close and making you want to share more with her. And so I think that that's a skill I want to learn how to have. That's so important. I just don't know how to do it. I'm so awkward when it comes to small talk. But also just people who are very confident and outspoken. Like I'm not. I don't think
Yeah,
I am.
same. Yeah, I really admire people who are very confident and also very they're able to like think very critically and they're confident about what they're saying and their position about things, their opinion about things. 'Cause I feel like I'm the type of person who can get swayed very easily. Like I usually like go with the flow and okay, that sounds really bad. Like it feels like I don't have a backbone sometimes. I'm like, oh, what you're saying is right. And unless it's like very controversial topic, like sometimes with like politics or like liberals or Republican, then I get really hard on those things. But then a lot of times I feel like I get swayed very easily, but I admire people who can stand very strong about what they're saying and like really think critically about different situation because a lot of times I'm just like, yeah, I think you're right. You have
That
a
means you're like
point.
open-minded though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I feel like stubborn people can be hard to like work with
That's
sometimes.
true. That's true. But I think like because sometimes I feel like I don't have a very clear voice in things, like an opinion in things, and I look up to people who are able to do that. Of course, like not being too stubborn, but at least like understand an issue enough that they can articulate their thought process so well. Like being articulative is also another qualities that I really admire because I'm not very articulative and not very good at like expressing myself verbally sometimes.
I'm
I
too.
go in circle and
Yeah,
circle and
me
circle.
too. Me too.
Yeah. So I admire people who are just very to the point.
Oh, I have another one. I really admire people are like, oh, this person is someone I can rely on. Because I feel like I'm someone you can rely on emotionally. Like, I feel like I can provide emotional support or like I'll know how to support someone. But then when it comes to like maybe tasks or like logistical things, I feel like I am not the best person sometimes. Like, I feel like it's easy for me to make mistakes. Like, I learned through making mistakes. So I feel like if you want someone who cannot make mistakes, like, that is not me. And I feel like there's some people who are very, like, you know, people who you can rely on a group project and like you'll know that they'll do it really, really well. I feel like that's not me. I feel like you are like that, actually.
I think I'm like that. Like, I'm good at logistical stuff, but I'm not very detailed oriented. You find a lot of freaking typos in my work, and I get so frustrated because it's like so stupid mistakes that makes people distrust me. And yeah, I get like so stressed about typos.
I think I admire people who like are very, very reliable, or who have the personality to just be like very, like, perfection. Like, yeah. Their work, like, the work that they produce is, like, perfect.
Yeah. I'm almost like that, except typo. I freaking hate typos. Yeah. Even Grammarly can't help me sometimes.
You need to pay for the subscription.
No, I didn't. Yeah. Yeah, that's all of our questions. Wow. Oh my gosh, like, I actually kind of like our discussion. It was really good. It flew very well.
Yes. Yeah, maybe we'll do another one because there's so many more cards. Yeah,
deck of cards.
Yes. But with that,
thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening. I guess we'll see you whenever we record our next one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be back into the pop culture.
Yes, and I'll be back in the Bay. Yeah. We'll have to see each other through Zoom again.
I know. Well, I'll be in the Bay soon. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. See y'all later.
Bye. Bye.